This is Adam Gorney back with the Respect My Decision podcast this week, now joined by a special guest, Nixa, Missouri football coach John Perry, better known as Jackson Cantwell's football coach. I mean, let's be honest, he's a big-time guy, and everybody's talking about him. John, what has it been like to have him on the team as a leader, as a player, as a person? You know, kind of tell people that don't really know him all that well what he's like.
Well, it's been really cool, you know, like as a high school football coach, someone that's spent, you know, starting year 30 in this profession, to finally have, you know, a Jackson Cantwell is pretty cool. You know, like, he's an awesome kid. He's an awesome young man. Probably what separates him, you know, other than his physical stature and his strength, is just his work ethic. You know, like, he's an extremely nice kid. He's a humble kid, but he works really, really hard. Now, you know, you have to credit, you know, Christian and Terry, his parents, for that, because they've probably installed in him that work ethic. But, you know, like, he just has this desire to be really good, and he works really hard at everything he does. And it doesn't matter if it's playing left tackle, if it's throwing the shot, or if it's chemistry. Like, he's going to put his very best into it and be really good at it.
I've covered a ton of kids that had, you know, successful parents over the years, and I'm sure you've followed it pretty closely as well. Some have no hunger to be great. Some feel like it's already, they're on, you know, born on third base. Some want to exceed their parents' success and have that hunger and drive and that understanding of what it takes. He seems like that kind of kid, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think he understands the path that his mom and dad have laid out, you know, and I think he wants to make his own path with the football thing, you know, like, his dad chose track and field and chose the shot. I think Jackson wants to make his own path, you know, with the football thing. But I think, you know, I do think he chases some of his dad's numbers. Like, he wants to out bench press him. He wants to out throw him, which, you know, I'm sure he's already out thrown him, you know, when they were equivalent age wise. Now, obviously, dad went a lot farther and, you know, threw further professionally. But, you know, like, I think they have laid the path for him. Now, he does have to pick it up and run with it, because, like you said, you could be totally entitled. You could be a guy that's going to rest on your laurels. And to be honest with you, genetics play a part. He's 6'8", but the bench pressing 500 and something pounds, the, you know, squatting and cleaning, that's not all genetic. You know, like, that dude has worked his tail off to be as strong as he is, to be as athletic as he is. Like, there's a great deal of work that goes into that, and sometimes people are blinded with, you know, it's the genetic thing. And, you know, sure, genetics, you know, probably helped him out with two Olympians as parents, but, you know, if he sat and sat around and ate bonbons all day long, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing.
I could speak from personal experience with that, John.
Me too.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. Talk about him as a player on the field. Some guys can go into a weight room and bench 500 pounds and then get pushed over. What is he like as a player, that meanness, that fierceness when he gets on in between the lines there?
You know what? He's a nice kid, but when he's out there on the field, like, he wants to complete the job, you know, and that means when the ball is snapped until the end of the whistle blows, not the beginning of the whistle, the end of the whistle. And he just goes full speed. He doesn't know another speed to go, you know. Now, you know, the tough thing is, for our guys that play defensive end, defensive tackle, and linebacker, sometimes that don't work out real well for them, because he just don't take plays off. He just don't stop. Like, he wants to do the job, and he wants to do the job right, you know. And that effort is fantastic, because that effort's also contagious, you know. Like, that bleeds through everybody else. And, you know, in athletics, when your best players are your hardest workers on the field, you have a chance to be really special as a team.
Do you see him as a long-term left tackle, right tackle? Where do you kind of see him along the line in terms of athleticism, wingspan, all the stuff that the NFL teams are going to look at?
Well, I don't claim to be no genius by no stretch of the imagination. I'm a very average intelligence guy. But I did, you know, when he come out of the eighth grade and wanted to play tight end and H-back, I'm like, no, dude, you're a left tackle. You know, just athletically, he is what you look for in an NFL left tackle. You know, like, he is the blind side guy. You know, he's long, he's rangy, he's strong, He's athletic. I mean, he's really good at basketball, which he's played up until now. I think that is what he is. Like, you could kind of see it when he was young just because he was kind of rangy. But, you know, he is athletic. If you saw him, you would say there's no way he's 305 because, yeah. You know, he's so long and he looks thin. He carries it so well. But, you know, I think he is no doubt about it. I mean, you hate to term somebody can't miss because anybody – You know, anything can happen, right? I mean, dude, he could end up throwing in the Olympics. So, you know, but just as a talent, you know, he's a pretty talented dude. And I think a left tackle is where he will.
Yeah, we have him number two in the country behind Jakeem Stewart from New Orleans, who really we feel is like Chris Jones reincarnated. I mean, he's just a massive player. And selfishly, to be honest with you, I would love to see Jackson, you know, at national events going up against him. Even if he's, you know, splits 50-50 reps just to see that level of competition. Is that something that he's said, you know, I want to do this. I don't really care about that. I mean, how does he kind of think that, especially because it's during the season of when he's doing track and field?
You know, I mean, some of it is because it's during the season. He has no issue whatsoever going up against anybody and people that are great trying to make him better. Like, he's a learner. He wants to go against great people, but, you know, like, there's also a season, you know, and he is a serious track competitor. I mean, he just won a national championship. So, you know, is he going to go do that in the off season when it's in the middle of track? I don't know. I mean, it's not a, you know, it's more of a business decision than it is anything, because you also got to think about it like this. Like, although that would be fun, he don't have to do that. Like, he just don't, you know, like, he's on a different level when it comes to what he has to go do. And he understands that. Like, they're pretty intelligent about making decisions that are based on what's best for him and keeping him healthy and, you know, keeping him in line with what's next. Like, they don't want to miss high school football, you know, like they don't want to miss high school track. Like, they want to keep first things first. And, you know, you got to admire that in them, because it would be so easy to go around all these national camps, trot him out there, la-di-da-di-la. Like, that would be easy for a parent to do, you know, and that's not what his parents do. Like, high school football, high school track is the most important thing for that kid right now. And that's, you know, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. When I hear 6'8", 300 pounds, I love that, because it's, and what you were talking about him, I love a guy that's not totally filled out in high school, a guy that he'll probably play in the NFL at 6'8", 340. You know what I mean? Like, I think his dad weighs 340 or did when he was throwing. And I think he could fill into that body. And I love guys that play multiple sports. So anybody, you know, if you're out there, I mean, maybe you disagree with this, but I think any kid who's out there listening right now, you play as many sports as possible. You learn different traits and qualities from them all, and be a kid sometimes. I mean, specializing, you could specialize once you get to the NFL, and in college, they're going to want you to specialize as much as you can. But when you're a kid, and you could talk about this as a high school football coach for so long, how important is it that your kids wrestle or play basketball or do track and field?
Man, it's absolutely huge. We have so many two-sport players. We have a lot of three-sport guys. I mean, Jackson was football, basketball, and track. We have a ton of them. And, the great thing is what's best for the kids, you know? Like, it develops them more as a well-rounded human being. And if you go ask Dr. Andrews in Birmingham, what's the worst thing a kid can do is to play one sport year-round? You know, and let the continual pounding or the throw or whatever it is, take that abuse for 12 months. So, you know, it's about being a kid, playing everything that you want to play. And, you know, the reason why we should play high school athletics is to represent our communities, you know, and to represent our people in our town, you know, and that's, our community's been fantastic about that. Our coaches are fantastic. They're not selfish. They're not going to try to pull kids to just do this or this, because if you're good enough to play college sports, you're good enough to probably play more than one sport. The good Lord probably blessed you with the ability to play two or three sports in high school if he blessed you with the ability to play college athletics.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point, too, to say, you know, I talk to NFL guys all the time that come back. I talk to college guys that are playing in the biggest stadiums. They still remember those Friday nights, you know. Don't miss out on those experiences and that time of your life, because it's really super important for everybody. John, what has the offseason looked like for you? I mean, I'm sure coaches have been flooding into NICSA, which is probably, you know, there have been a few coming through, but now, like, everybody's been in your office, right?
You know, what's crazy is Southwest Missouri is under-recruited just in general, you know, and I'd said that the first several years I was here as a person that, you know, moved up here after 26 years in Mississippi, extremely under-recruited because of maybe the clientele or what have you. But then Jackson Catwell comes along, and it's amazing how they can find you, you know. So everybody has come through. Everybody has – and it's awesome, you know. Like, they want something from us, right? Like, they want Jackson Catwell. So, you know, I personally try to get something from them, whether it's a new blocking scheme or a new play, or like I start asking them questions right off the bat because, you know, like I want to get something from these guys too. But it's been great. It's been good for our school. And Jackson has, you know, like he loves communicating. He loves, you know, staying in touch with those guys. And, you know, his communication level has taken off because of all the conversations that he has had, you know, with people along the way. But it's been fantastic. It's not been a bad thing. You know, like some people may get, you know, thinking that it's too much, or but it's worked out great.
Who are two or three guys, coaches that have walked in that you're saying like, damn, this is a guy I've always wanted to meet, or he walked out and you were like, man, really cool guy.
I'm gonna tell you two guys that I thought were, and I knew both of them before, but I'm saying were top notch that walked in was Dan Lanning at Oregon, you know, yeah. And I've known him since he was at Memphis. I mean, just an awesome guy, you know. So, you know, that was really cool. And Eli Drinkwitz, you know, who obviously is a Missouri guy as far as being the head coach at Missouri. Two outstanding individuals, you know, two different guys, but two awesome football coaches. You know, both of those were fantastic. Now, there's been a ton of folks come through here, like Stacy Searles, University of Georgia, O-line coach, fantastic guy. You know, there's been a plethora of guys that come. And, hey, to make it to that level, they're all pretty darn good. You know what I'm saying? Or they wouldn't be coming through here at all.
Yeah. Yeah. My job is to chisel information and get it out there. I mean, obviously I'm a recruiting reporter. You know, his dad went to Missouri. His mom is from Nebraska. Do you feel like he's kind of a Midwest kid in that sense? Does he want to stay in state close to family? I know he's going through that SEC tour later this week.
You know what, man? I think Jackson looks at this as what is best for him as it relates to his goals. You know, like, what are my goals? If my goals are to play left tackle in the NFL and continue to throw the shot in college, where am I best suited to do that? Like, I honestly think that he is the type of kid that's going to make the decision that's best for him and his future and his career. I don't think you could sit here and say he's going to be tied into an area to, you know, I really don't, you know, and today, with the way the world works and the NIL and all of that, like, you know, I don't think it's as big a deal because you can travel anywhere, you know, like planes go everywhere. Like, I think he's going to make the best decision for him, you know, and I think his parents are going to allow that to happen.
Do you think it's important? And obviously a mature kid from a grounded family that knows the business here. Do you think it's important for him to see those SEC schools, especially from you being down in that SEC country, to see LSU and what they have, to see Georgia and what they can do, and Alabama with that new staff?
Sure. I mean, I think he wants to stay wide open, you know? Like, I think he wants to keep his options open so that he can figure it out. And he is an extremely intelligent dude. And he keeps up relationships with these, you know, coaches. Like, he's invested in the process. It's not like, you know, anybody's going to come in here and trick him into doing this. That ain't going to happen. Like, you know, I think at the end of the day, he's going to make the decision that's best for Jackson Cantwell. And wherever that is, I think he's going to be okay with that.
You spoke to genetics, and obviously that's important. I had to look this up because I have two kids of my own and I don't remember what they weighed, but the average baby weighs over 7 pounds and he was 11.2 pounds. He's just a big kid, but that's important because he could handle himself at 6'8". I used to cover basketball where a kid was 6'10" and he could have been 8'10". He was so big and gangly. That doesn't seem like the kind of player that he is.
Football. Oh no. I mean, he's 6'8", but he can get in a 3-point stance. Like, he moves like a 5'10" kid, you know, which is very unique because most folks that are 6'8", 6'9", whatever, they can't do that, you know, but he's very athletic. You wouldn't even know, you know, athletically that he's, you know, 6'8".
Were you an 11 pound baby, John?
No, I was not an 11 pound baby. Now I'm plenty big now, but I wasn't then.
Again, I appreciate you joining me. This is the Respect My Decision podcast. That is John Perry from Nixon, Missouri.
Thank you very much for having us.